Hey, this is Michael from Modern Musician, and before we start the show, I wanted to let you know that right now, I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Specifically, we're looking for artists that have at least one song professionally recorded. It doesn't have to be, you know, Beyoncé-level production, but it just needs to be something that you feel proud of and you're ready to promote. We're looking for artists who are really just poised for growth and are ready to go all in on their music. And yeah, there's this saying that when the student's ready, the mentor appears. And so that's you. If you're truly ready for it, then I want to invite you to apply for a free coaching call with our team. The goal is to launch an automated system that allows you to build a loyal and engaged fan base so you can make a sustainable income with your music online without having to sell your soul to social media or post 20 times a day on TikTok. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application and share one of your songs. I'm looking forward to checking out your music, and now let's start the show.
Yeah, I mean, the power of community is almost indescribable. At least in my experience, I don't always realize the effects until way later. That was a big part of why I wanted to go to the Mastermind in Orlando, is I really didn't know what I was signing up for. I actually had to cancel a couple shows, but it was like, I know that being around this group will likely impact and change me in ways that I won't see for years to come. You know, when you surround yourself with people that are willing to work just as hard as you are, or that have made mistakes that you're either in the process of making, that you've made yourself, or that you are thinking about making but haven't implemented yet, you can learn a lot from their experiences, and that can change your path drastically.
It's easy to get lost in today's music industry with constantly changing technology and where anyone with a computer can release their own music. But I'm going to share with you why this is the best time to be an independent musician, and it's only getting better. If you have high quality music, but you just don't know the best way to promote yourself so that you can reach the right people and generate a sustainable income with your music, we're going to show you the best strategies that we're using right now to reach millions of new listeners every month without spending 10 hours a day on social media. We're creating a revolution in today's music industry, and this is your invitation to join me. I'm your host, Michael Walker. All right, I'm excited to be here today with my new friend, Tyler Herwig. Tyler and I just had a chance to connect here in Orlando, Florida, and he's just as awesome in person as he is online. Tyler, he's performed over 250 shows per year. He plays both at corporate events, weddings, and, you know, he's really like a living embodiment of what we talk about when we're talking about modern musician. So I'm really excited to have him on the podcast today, because I think that hearing his story and how he's, you know, built a career from his music is going to be really inspiring for people. So Tyler, thank you so much for taking the time to be here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really honored and glad to be here.
Awesome. So to kick things off, you know, maybe you could just share a brief introduction about yourself and your music and what made you decide you wanted to join, you know, our modern musician community.
Yeah, so I've been performing since I was 16 years old. It all got started for me in high school when I learned that girls like musicians. And I know, crazy. And I was in love with this girl growing up. And so I heard a rumor from a friend of a friend that she liked musicians. And I decided that I was going to do that so I could impress her. And so I taught myself how to play guitar. And then I got this idea in my head that I would ask her to our school prom. And so I learned all of her favorite songs, got her friends and my friends together in the parking lot of a Taco John's. And I put on this little like concert for her. And at the very end, I asked her to prom and she said no.
Oh, and, no.
I know.
Really?
Oh, yeah, really.
Man.
She said no. That broke my heart. The worst part was that all my friends immediately started making fun of me. That lasted for like,
oh, man.
I don't know, 10, 15 minutes until they got bored. They left. And I decided to do the only thing that a 16-year-old boy with a broken heart would do in that situation. I ordered 30 tacos and I opened the trunk of my car and I sat in the trunk playing guitar, eating tacos, wiping my tears away with tortilla shells, and just singing songs. And while I was doing that, this woman got off of work and was pulling through the drive-thru. She heard me singing and she got out of her car and came and asked if I would sing in her wedding.
Wow.
And that was that was the moment that really changed my life, because I went from trying to impress a pretty girl to, wow, I can make someone's day a little bit more special and more memorable by doing something I had learned to love to do. And so I started performing as much as I possibly could. And after about 10 years, I kind of fell into a wrong crowd. And that was when I started falling into some addiction and started making some really poor choices, took some time to get better, completely stepped away from music. And then about 4 years ago, decided to redirect and start creating songs that might change people's lives and direct them away from addiction. And since doing that, I've seen this giant change in my music, my fan base, my connection with my audience, because I'm making music that is there to inspire and help people, as well as tell my personal story.
Hmm. Wow. Dang, dude. That is an incredible story. And it's actually kind of funny. My story in high school around how I started making music was very similar. And I guess it's probably similar for a lot of dudes in high school that you want to start making music, cause it's, you know, for the chicks. But the real question is, what is she doing now? Regret does she she has never gotten over the one who got away in that parking lot in Taco John's.
Yeah, I know. I haven't talked to her in probably since we graduated high school, but I do know that she got pregnant right out of high school, and I think she has like 7 kids now. So,
oh wow.
Hopefully she's happy, but I don't know. It's not my place to say.
We'll get her on the podcast. We'll figure it out.
Yes, we definitely should. I'll give you her email afterwards.
Oh man. Awesome. Well, I mean, talk about an interesting like story too. Thank you for sharing, you know, sort of the ups and the downs and the challenges that you've been through. And I'm sure that kind of coming back into music now, you have a renewed sense of purpose and motivation for the music that you're making. So maybe you could share a little bit about like, how did you discover Modern Musician in the first place? I'm kind of curious about what your journey was like. And I mean, a program like what we offer is a pretty big leap of faith and a pretty big commitment. So I'm just kind of curious about how you discovered Modern Musician and decided to take that leap of faith.
Yeah. So that's actually a pretty interesting story too. So one of the Modern Musician coaches, Zach King, is from Minneapolis, which is where I live. And we used to play at all the same venues, but we never met in person, but I stalked him pretty thoroughly on social media. And he ended up moving out to LA, but I saw that he didn't really have any stop in his career growth. And it was because he was doing Modern Musician. And so I finally reached out to him and said, what are you doing? Because I'm playing all these shows and I'm not getting the same connections. I'm not getting the same turnaround in my career and really looking at it as a business. And he said, I do this thing called Modern Musician. And so I started looking into it. I think I started to sign up and watch the podcast a few years ago. And then my wife ended up getting pregnant. And I was kind of thrown off kilter a little bit by that because we weren't planning on it. Definitely took us by surprise. But back in August, we decided that it was the time now to take my music from point A to point B and do whatever it took to cross that in-between stage. And so I actually hopped on a call with Zach and decided that no matter how much it cost, no matter what I had to do, I was going to become a Modern Musician. And so I joined the program back in August of last year. And since then, things have really, really taken off. My fan base has just exploded, truly.
Awesome.
So it's all thanks to Zach King.
Yeah, shout out to Zach for sure. And Minneapolis, you know, we talked about this briefly when you were here for our Orlando mastermind, but that was kind of our stopping grounds when we first started with Paradise Fears. So it's interesting to hear you. I mean, when you're talking about Taco John's and those things, you know, I can definitely relate with that. Maybe we can talk a little bit about your journey, you know, in the past few months, like with, you know, since you joined in August, like what would you say has been your biggest, like takeaway, your biggest learning lesson? Like if you could go back to yourself, and this is maybe even like pre Modern Musician, just like back when you were starting your music career. And if you could give yourself one piece of advice around your music, what would it be?
Probably the one thing that I would tell myself if I could go back in time is start collecting email addresses. I didn't realize how much power there was in email marketing in terms of connecting with your audience, making offers, and anything from selling like a CD or a starter pack to some of the high ticket offers. And I kind of kicked myself for not collecting emails since August, even though I had been doing music for over a decade. And I definitely think about how much different my career would be if I had had email addresses and fans that have been following me and I've stayed in contact with for, you know, 15 years, probably have like 100,000 emails by now. But it's one thing that I would recommend anyone take seriously is get contact information and stay in contact with your fans. Even if you have to take a break and step away from music for a while, it's okay to be authentic and open with those people and say, hey, I've got to do this, but I'll be back. You'll hear from me soon.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. It's, you know, kind of that rain catcher. And if the rain's falling down, then you want to make sure you have something to capture the rain with so you can stay connected with those people. Yeah. Awesome. You know, one thing that you had mentioned was that you've had some success with, you know, some of the higher ticket offers and things like, you know, weddings or corporate shows. And I think you had mentioned that you actually had someone come in from your ads that, you know, that purchased a high ticket offer from you. And so I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about your experience with that. And in particular, yeah, I think that high ticket offers for a lot of artists are challenging because it kind of brings up a sense of self-worth. And do I deserve to charge, you know, $1,000 or more for this? So I'd love to hear your journey and perspective through, you know, being able to offer those and provide that value to your fans.
Yeah. So it was just actually a few months ago, I had a pretty new fan come in and purchase a custom co-write song with me. And she found me through one of my ads and we ended up connecting a little bit. Turns out that her boyfriend actually is an employee at one of the large corporations that I do a recurring corporate event for. And so I felt really comfortable that we just had so much in common. And she ended up telling me that she's always wanted to write a custom song. And so I said, how much would you feel comfortable spending on a custom song? I've never really co-written with a fan before, so you set the price and let's make it happen. And she said she was willing to pay $2,500 to sit down and co-write a song with me. Mm-hmm. And so we hopped on two Zooms. The first one was very much kind of an interview. Just tell me about your life, your life story. What do you want to get out into the world as music? And that lasted probably an hour. And I ended up taking notes and I honestly typed most of what she said into ChatGPT, kind of the base of the song for me. And then a lot of ChatGPT songs kind of, they're not very good right off the bat.
They're kind of like cliche-ish.
Yeah. And I'm not the most experienced co-writer in the whole wide world, but I figured having a framework to get out what she was trying to say and then putting a true human touch on it and then kind of going back and forth with her, like, do you like this line? Do you like this line? And we put together a song during our second Zoom call. Within, I think it was about 45 minutes, we had it done. I came up with a melody the next day, recorded it as a voice memo on my phone, and I sent it to her. And she was ecstatic, just super happy that she got this thing. And I kind of made a little video on my phone too, teaching her how to play it. So if she ever wanted to learn, she would have an instructional video on how to play the song as well. Mm.
So cool, man. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I think it's easy to take for granted as musicians, that because it's just like we know how to make music and it's, you know, something that feels very intuitive, but it really is like magic. And it's magic to everyone that just kind of watch, you know, what you create. And I remember Eli was on the podcast a week or two ago and was describing his experience with custom songs and about how one of the songs he wrote was with a fan who wanted to honor their grandma. It was like her 100th birthday. And so they played the song, you know, at her 100th birthday party around her whole family who came together to experience that moment together. I was like, dang. That is so cool. And you can kind of provide that, you know, that experience for someone. You can really, like, the song is really special. It's like kind of a priceless thing to share. So it's really cool to hear your story about how you were able to do that for one of your fans as well. How How do you encourage someone who is listening to this, who maybe they're interested in doing these custom songs, but maybe they're a little bit scared about the offer of like, you know, how do I present this in a way that, you know, doesn't come across as salesy, but comes across, you know, in the right way? Like, do you have any advice just in general about mindset for how they can create a higher ticket offer?
Yeah, a couple things is, first, I would say, affirm yourself that what you're doing is valuable, and your fans will reflect that value. I think it's okay. This is just my personal opinion. I think it's okay to be a little flexible on price. If someone tells me they only have $800 as opposed to $2,000, like, I'm happy to write a song for $800. That's fine. So I think have a minimum that you're willing to really hold to, but also be willing to serve your fan base. And then one of the other tricks that I recently started using is, you know, I offer my Intune survey to my fans first before I get them to go into my starter pack. But with the digital download of my starter pack, I actually included a songwriting guide. So I started just a really simple kind of basic songwriting guide that prompts all of my fans that are interested in purchasing anything to maybe kind of plant the seed that they could write a song one day too. And I think that will be very fruitful when it comes to making high ticket offers in the future.
Super interesting. Yeah. So basically in the initial welcome sequence with the, you know, the starter pack is what we call it, then you have a section where they can submit some ideas to like prompt, like to write a song. And is that connected to the survey that is sort of like, you meant for inspiration, where it says something like, you know, sometimes I like to write, you know, songs that are inspired by the stories of, you know, of fans in the community.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
That's awesome. That's cool. I mean, we added that like to the base templates probably like 6 months ago or so, but I haven't heard a lot from people who are using that in practice. So I think that's super cool. I think there's a huge opportunity to not just like, you know, have the custom songs, but also just to hear the stories from your fans and kind of see what is it that they're going through right now. And, you know, what are they thinking about? What are their challenges? What are their goals? I'm curious, like, how many of those surveys start coming in, and what does the experience look like in terms of the responses that people are sharing?
Yeah, it was probably 2 weeks ago that I started offering the survey before the starter pack in terms of kind of my sales sequence and my messenger campaigns. But since doing that, I probably get between 10 and 13 responses a day on my Intune surveys. Like, wow. my email is flooded with Intune survey responses. And
awesome.
I mean, there's all sorts of feedback that comes from that, and has really helped me as I'm looking at, I just launched a new song actually yesterday. And one of the most valuable things that I've been taking away from it are who are their top three favorite artists? Because now I can see, like, these are probably the artists I should be targeting the most, because this is what all of my fans say.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's cool, man. I mean, we were geeking out about this in Orlando just a few days ago, like getting the Intune survey set up. But you know, there's something that I've noticed as a pattern between our most successful artists and just like people in general, like yourself, is that they are very fast action takers, and they just like get stuff, you know, done and put it out fast. Erica Mason was an example of that. Like, we had lunch at one of our masterminds in Hawaii, and later that night, she, you know, took this 30-minute conversation we had, sent out an email to her whole audience, which was about 24,000, you know, email subscribers, and sold out of, you know, 30 spots for a retreat at $2,000 a piece. And the speed at which she did it was, I was like, man, that's incredible. And what you just shared right now, you're like, yeah, like, we just did this in Orlando, but not only did we just do it, but I actually put it into action. And now I'm getting 10 to 13 Intune surveys per day. Really awesome. So I'm curious, in your experience, I mean, obviously you've been through some different ups and downs, you know, in your personal life and in your career, likely like in your journey with Modern Musician as well. What have been some of the lessons that you've learned through those ups and downs, through the challenges you've been through? For anyone, you know, maybe that's in one of those periods right now where they're kind of going through one of those downs, like, how do you recommend that someone is able to kind of overcome or work through or heal if necessary from some of those challenges?
Yeah, I know, particularly in in the past when I felt like things aren't going my way, I tend to commiserate. And I would encourage people to really remind yourself that when you feel like you're at rock bottom, you're given a decision to either to like put down the shovel and like you can continue, you can always get lower, but at a certain point you can put down the shovel and start figuring out how you're going to get out of whatever situation you're in, persevere through it, whether that's emotional issues or personal life issues or issues with your business. You can decide how to get out. And then again, like you were just saying, take quick action. You might make a different mistake, but at least you're not staying in the same mistake. And sometimes you have to do 100 things wrong before you figure out the one thing that's going to be right. And that's definitely been my experience over the last several years, is just make all the mistakes, but fall forward, fail forward, and get to the next spot.
So good. Yeah. So, you know, being willing to show up and try things and fail forward, make mistakes. It's like Thomas Edison, I think, said every wrong step discarded is another step forward.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in that vein, if you feel comfortable talking about this or sharing it as it relates to your journey through what sounds like a really challenging time or a dark time with, you know, challenges with addiction as well. Mm-hmm. How do you bounce back from that? Like, how did you, what allowed you to be able to change the trajectory of your life when you were in the middle of that?
Yeah. A big part of it actually came from, I don't want to like bore anyone with too many details, but so I checked myself into a recovery treatment center. And when I got out of that facility, I moved into a sober house where I was living with 14 other guys in a 4-bedroom apartment. Or like 4-bedroom little house. So it was, it was basically like going back to college. But when I was in the treatment facility, they told me that I would likely never be able to perform music again, because I was always performing at bars, breweries, wineries, you know, places where people were drinking or doing drugs and doing the things that I probably shouldn't be around. But when I moved into the sober house a few months in, became very close friends with one of the guys. He was actually the best man in my wedding. And he challenged me to start writing songs specifically about not doing those things, write about my experiences, and then go to the places where those people were, like where the people who might have the same problem I had are, go there and sing songs about how that's not the right, that wasn't the right thing for you, and share that experience.
Wow.
And so when I started taking that approach and really being authentic and vulnerable with people, I saw this big change. And every day that I do that, and I mean, I perform almost every single day, I'm gifted another day of recovery afterward, which has been a really cool experience. So I would encourage people, no matter what you're going through, whatever the struggle is, be authentic with your audience at live performances, at virtual performances, and see what changes happen, because you never know who needs to hear your story.
Man, that's so powerful. What that reminds me of is a quote. I can't remember the exact words of the quote, but it might have been Joseph Campbell who described this, that, you know, our greatest purpose or our greatest gift or blessing in a lot of cases becomes, if we can think back to our own lives and like when we were in our darkest moments or like our rock bottom moments, like who did we need and what did we need help with like at that point? And then later on, being able to become the person, become the thing that we needed and be able to help, you know, give that gift to other people. A huge blessing. Along those lines, if I remember correctly, you shared an example from, you know, one of your fans who had reached out, who was sharing about like the impact that your music had made. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I released a song back in January called Enough. And I wrote this song when I first got sober as kind of a way to make amends for a lot of the mistakes that I had made and a lot of the people that I had hurt. So it's a very stripped down, very raw sounding and very emotional song. And I released it, started, you know, plugging it on social media everywhere I could, making all the reels and TikTok videos. And I had a guy reach out to me who was a new fan, had never talked to him before, and expressed that he was struggling with addiction as well. And we had a series of phone calls talking about my music, my experiences, and he ended up asking me if I could help him get plugged in to the recovery community and into a treatment center. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard from him in about 6 weeks. So I'm hoping that's a good thing and not a bad thing. But it was really cool to see that, you know, when I'm willing to be open and authentic, that I, not only can I do something that I love, but I can actually change or potentially save someone's life just by writing and singing a song, just by putting it out there into the world. And again, it'll find the right people.
Mm. That's powerful, man. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Maybe you can speak a little bit to just the power of community and being surrounding yourself with people that motivate you to be a better person. I'm curious if, yeah, from your experience, you know, and the, you know, the journey that you've been on, like what you think the role of community and your surroundings have.
Yeah. I mean, the power of community is almost indescribable because at least in my experience, I don't always realize the effects until way later. That was a big part of why I wanted to go to the mastermind in Orlando, is I really didn't know what I was signing up for. You know, I actually had to cancel a couple of shows, but it was like, I know that being around this group will likely impact and change me in ways that I won't see for years to come. You know, when you surround yourself with people that are willing to work just as hard as you are, or that have made mistakes that you're either in the process of making, that you've made yourself, or that you are thinking about making but haven't implemented yet, you can learn a lot from their experiences, and that can change your path drastically. Actually, at the mastermind, I was able to connect with a few other artists that had told me they had tried some of the ideas that I was about to try and do. They were like, don't do it. Don't do it. It didn't work for me. It might work for you, but maybe try something else first and see if the new thing works. Mm. And so, you know, that could end up having an impact on my career for years to come, because I just avoided one mistake all through creating a connection with someone else. So.
Mm. Huge. Yeah. One thing that's coming back to mind is the hot seat that you did, where there's a opportunity or there's a question mark. And I think it was like a $12,000 potential opportunity that you could invest into. And it sounded like as you went into it, you kind of already knew what you felt like the answer was, but you weren't really sure about. Maybe we can share that example briefly.
Yeah. So kind of long story short, and to give a little bit of context, right before I started Modern Musician, I signed a development deal with a record label in Nashville, which it's not a full blown like record deal. Basically, you invest money, they help you write a song, produce the song, and then they'll push it to radio. And so I ended up releasing a song called Living in the Last Days with them back in September of last year. It charted to 8 in the US on Indie Country Radio, and I think 4 in the UK on Indie Country Radio. So it charted really, really high. But I got zero return on my investment. I didn't see an uptick in my social media, didn't see new emails, new fans. I just got some really cool bragging rights. And they recently came back and offered me a very similar deal for $12,000, but with 3 songs, 1 push to radio. And I was really torn, because since starting with Modern Musician, I've realized that if I put $12,000 into my ad spend and marketing myself, I have the ability to see an ROI or even truly like make money, as well as get thousands and thousands of email addresses. And so during the hot seat, I pretty much just asked everybody, guys, what would you do? What would you do if you were me? Because I know that charting on the radio is cool, but you know, 12 to 24,000 more email addresses seems cooler to me. And they all encouraged me, like, believe in yourself, push yourself, do the work, and you know, see what's going to happen, because likely you'll get another opportunity to work with a label or this label again if you really want. But getting those fans yourself will feel so much more satisfying and gratifying in the end if you're willing to put the work in. And actually, later that night, I increased my ad spend for my ads by like $15, which is wild. So add up to be about $12,000 awesome. By the end of this year. So
That's awesome. Yeah. And last week when we were together, I forget what your average like cost per fan was in terms of like your ad spend, but like what's the number like cost per lead right now?
Yeah, it's between 52 and 58 cents depending on the week right now. So
wow. I mean, that's
easy math. Round it down to 50, and we're looking at 24,000 email addresses in the next 12 months instead.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild. That's so cool that you can, you know, basically reverse engineer and look at, you know, at that, you know, cost per fan. And likely, you know, as you scale up your campaigns, you should expect like the cost per lead to go up probably. Mm-hmm. You could keep it down depending on split testing and whatnot. But even if it went up to like $1, you know, cost per lead, that means 12,000, you know, new fans and on your email list, which is, you know, probably worth, yeah, I've heard that like one email subscriber is worth around 10 social media followers. So it'd be like 100,000, like legitimate, like, you know, not bot, you know, followers, but like real engaged people on your list, which is pretty dang awesome.
Well, and if one in 1,000 people is taking a high ticket offer priced at, you know, $1,000 to $2,000, that's me potentially doubling my money as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think you're doing something right. That's there,
good motivation.
Tyler.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something there. Maybe Tyler, you could share some thoughts around monetization. And like, you know, it's one thing to be getting leads that are coming in, but you know, to actually make it sustainable or profitable, like, you know, we need to have offers. And in particular, some of the higher end of the offers seem like those are really key in terms of making a profit. So I'd be curious to hear your feedback or thoughts as it relates to that question of how can we, you know, best serve our fans and make sure that the value per fan is high enough to make it sustainable.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you just said it. It's the key to monetization is make offers. Like, your fans can't buy something they don't know exists. So make offers frequently. You can always phrase it in different ways and say you're running a sale or a discount, or here's a promo code, which you can set up in Street Team. So there's a lot of things you can do there. I also really like using scarcity to my advantage. And so when I put out a new song, I immediately start doing pre-sales for limited edition single CDs. So I put one song on the disc, I print 100 copies of it, and say, like, once these 100 copies are gone, this product will not be coming back. You got to buy it. You got to buy it now, or you'll never get one. And the value isn't in the CD itself. Like, if you want to go stream the song, you're going to listen to it on Spotify or Apple Music or something like that. But to have a collector's edition item where there's only 100 of them, and for the fans that really believe in me and in my music, they buy them immediately. So with this new song that I launched just yesterday, I started doing pre-sales a couple of weeks ago. I've sold like 30 of the 100 copies almost overnight. So,
Wow. Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something there. There's something there that's really interesting around the scarcity or like the limited edition amount and connecting that to your like inner circle, connecting it to your music relics. I think it's an area that we want to lean into more this year with the Street Team system. For example, if you had a release and maybe you did a bundle where there's like one of 100 copies, and in addition to them getting like a physical one of 100, you know, edition of something, maybe it comes with a one of 100 relic edition. That's like the digital collectible. And maybe it also comes bundled in with a year of access to your inner circle at that platinum tier. Yeah, I would love to see. I mean, you in particular, Tyler, since you know you've already started to establish this model of doing drops or doing releases with a limited edition. Let's work on getting something connected with the relics and with your inner circle. And I personally would be interested in, you know, picking up one of your relics, like a gold or platinum relic, and I'll have bragging rights in your inner circle. But I think it would be really cool to connect what you're already doing with those physical drops with the digital collectibles as well.
Yeah, I agree. And just for you, I'll offer you a discount for my platinum relic. It's only $5,000.
Oh, is that all? Ah,
got it. It's all.
That's okay. Tax write-off.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, Tyler, man, it was great connecting with you in Orlando. I mean, there's certain people that, you know, you spend time with them in person and you just immediately know like your state of presence, your state of being, like you're super, super sharp. There's a lot of like, I could just sense like you're a very intelligent and just like good-hearted person. So it was great connecting in person. I'm really excited about what you've built and the potential for you as well. Like, you think things are really you're kind of like at this budding stage of your career. Yeah. So I'm really excited for you and grateful to be a part of your journey. And yeah, any final thoughts or words that you want to share with the audience before we wrap up today?
I would just encourage people to just try a new thing. You know, don't be scared. It's not going to work. If it doesn't work, almost good, because now you know a new thing that doesn't work. So get out, try the thing, make the song, release it, make an offer. You got this.
Awesome. So good. Yeah, I mean, it's maybe I want to personally listen to your song enough, because that song, you know, sounds like that encapsulates one of my personal core, you know, values or messages that I want to be able to share with, you know, with my music, which is that you are enough. But maybe, yeah, like what is the key takeaway from that song? And I'm curious if that's connected to what we're talking about here as well.
I mean, that song, like the whole hook of that song is that you told me I wasn't enough, but you gave all that you had for me. So it's a song that's going to make you cry. It'll probably give you flashbacks of Nam.
That kid
on the bridge. No, but it is a really,
June,
it is
are you
a really
out there
raw...
right now? Are you listening to this, June? Oh, man.
Plug in June. Oh, man. No, definitely check it out. Feel free to let me know what you think. It is a really raw, authentic, and pretty sad song. But when you know the full story of where I was and now where I am now, to me, it's almost a happy sad, because you see how things have turned the corner. That's the other cool thing about some of those raw, authentic songs that you can put out, is when you share your story after the fact, your fans get really invested in how you changed, how you turned that corner. And that'll create an amazing connection.
Awesome. Well, Tyler, yeah, thanks again for coming on here live to share your story. And let's give a virtual round of applause. Hey, it's Michael here. I hope that you got a ton of value out of this episode. Make sure to check out the show notes to learn more about our guest today. And if you want to support the podcast, then there's a few ways to help us grow. First, if you hit subscribe, then that'll make sure you don't miss a new episode. Secondly, if you share it with your friends or on your social media and tag us, that really helps us out. And third, best of all, if you leave us an honest review, it's going to help us reach more musicians like you who want to take their music careers to the next level. The time to be a modern musician is now, and I look forward to seeing you on our next episode.